Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you with us. My name is Hannah Scorer, and joining me to lead the service of the word is our rector, Keith Nethery. Our music is led by our musical director, Stephen Hollowitz, vocals by Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, and Victoria Piovison this week, as well as a performance on bassoon and harp by Alexandra von Wartburg and Eliza Lamb. And as ever, our sound engineer, John Gardy, is with us. If you haven't already checked out our new website, you should definitely do that, as well as our Sunday school videos, which can be found on the website or on our Facebook page. And now I would invite you to take a deep breath, close your eyes, still your heart, and prepare yourselves for worship.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So we got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. the gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. This is one of those gospel readings that those of us who have been in the church for a long time kind of check out of. We know what it's all about. It's about our relationship with Jesus, being attached to the vine, being a good branch, all those good things. And so why do we even need to listen to it? Well, because you'll find what happened to me this week will happen to you. And that was, I went to a sermon commentary site and found a different understanding. Now, I've always recognized and always talked about the fact that when you're trying to understand a passage of Scripture, read what's before and what's after. And in this case, especially what's after this passage. Because it really changes our understanding of what Jesus is asking of us. If we are to be the branches, what is it that we have to do? Be good little boys and girls like they told us to be in Sunday school? Well, we have to keep the rules. Oh yeah, we remember those rules from Sunday school too. We remember what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. We're going to be polite, right? We're going to have the right clothes and all those things, and we'll say the right things. And we'll be very careful to be good in church and to not make any noise and all those kinds of things than most of us who went to Sunday school many years ago, I guess I could say it out loud, many decades ago, attribute to this reading, because it's the first time we heard it way back then. And we've always heard when Jesus says, if you follow my command, you'll be a good branch. And you'll be attached to the vine and you'll be safe. And we run all those tapes of all those old rules of who's in and who's out. And then we don't go past the end of verse 8. We don't get down to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What? It's about love? I always thought it was about being good. I always thought it was about following the rules. So what does it mean to love? And I think that's something that the church is grappling with. What does it mean to truly love someone? Now, we can jump over to the Acts of the Apostles, and I'll leave it in the context that it was in, because if I bring it forward into today's context, it might get rather difficult to handle. The story is built around a eunuch. We need to do a little research to find out who a eunuch was. Now, there were two types of eunuchs, those who might have been born that way by physical defect, and those that either chose to be or were forced to be because of a position that they may have. Now, this eunuch was in a queen's court and in charge of the money, and probably had access to all the maidens and all the female servants and was involved there. So this was to control them. And these people were probably derided to give up who they were for a position, or worse, to be forced into something unconscionable to do a job. I said I wasn't going to do this, but might that not be kind of like sending somebody to a job, I don't know, maybe in a warehouse, and telling them that even though there's a public health emergency, you better be there because you got to make your money because we don't give you freebies. You better get there and get your job done, and you got to provide for your family, so just go do it, but don't get anybody sick. That happened? Maybe it did. I think we started to address it just a little bit. Let's go back to the situation that we're talking about in the Acts of the Apostles. So Philip probably should have never went near this person. There was some argument as to whether this eunuch was Jewish and went to Africa to work in this position, or whether he was a Gentile who just happened to be in Jerusalem or in the area and was familiar with the Jewish understanding and so had gone to worship and was trying to read Isaiah. But Philip should have never went near him. Yet what did God do? The Spirit told Philip to go and talk with him. To get in the chariot with them, to be up close with him, to talk to him, to help him, to baptize him. Can you imagine that? A baptism that was allowed to go ahead in a puddle of water at the side of the road? They didn't have a font. They didn't have everybody all dressed up. They didn't have a white baptismal gown. What a terrible thing, right? Philip did what was loving. Philip answered the command to love one another. So when we go back to what it is to be a good branch, it's not about learning Bible verses. It's not about following the rules. It's not about attendance on Sunday morning. It's not about doing the right things. It's about doing the loving thing. And if you want an example of what the most loving thing that you can do is, Jesus gives it to us later in the passage from John. No greater thing than to give up one's life for their friends. Jesus calls them friends. What are we willing to give up to be a branch attached to the vine? What are we willing to do in the area of love to be people of faith? Well, let me say this. That's a whole lot harder than being told to sit still in church, to learn some Bible verses, to be a good person, whatever that's supposed to mean. You've heard me say this many times. If it's easy, it's probably not faith, because faith is the hardest thing that we will ever do. So am I good at loving the people around us? Sometimes. Sometimes not. Can I do more? Absolutely. Can I try harder? Absolutely. Will I try harder? I hope so. There's no scorecard. There's no you're in or you're out. If you're willing to love, if you're willing to understand that every creature, every living thing that God has created, God loves, and you therefore should love that creation as well, you're just in the middle. You're part of the family. It's a difficult road. It means we have to get up close and personal with people that we might not want to, people that are different from us. means we can't seek personal privilege. We can't say I'm above that or below that or beside that or around that. I just have to be in it because that's what it is to love. So many of these familiar stories, we just let them wash over us and remember the good old days when church was simple because it was just an hour and then you didn't have to think about it again until next Sunday. That's not what faith is. It's every day, all day, and it's about one thing, love. Amen.
Love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb I will sing. Join the theme, I will sing, while millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing His love for me. And through eternity, I'll sing on, and through eternity, I'll sing on.
I would invite you to join me now in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of himself, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for our family and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all they do. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our country, that the Lord will help us to contribute to its true growth and well-being, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the whole human family, that we may live together in justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Steady pace, still to
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.